We're going to continue this morning in the Gospel of Luke, as I call it, in the shadow of the cross, looking back to the cross, remembering what Christ did and it being involved in his teachings and how that affects us now because of the cross. Are only a few people going to be saved? Have you ever wondered about that? Are only a few people going to be? How many people will go to heaven? Does Jesus really send people to hell? I mean, if God is a God of love, won't everyone go to heaven? It's a question a lot of people ask. Maybe you've asked that question. Maybe you are asking that question. Or maybe someone has asked you that. And how would you respond? The Jewish people of Jesus' time pretty much believed they would all enter into God's presence because they're the children of Abraham. There might be a few, like King Ahab, who was a wicked king. Maybe he wouldn't, but just about all of them would make it. It was hereditary. They're part of the family. They should have no problem getting in. But now those Gentiles, those outside, it's going to take something for them. They probably won't get in. They're unclean. They're outsiders. They're those other people. They'll be cast out into the darkness when the end of time came. But the Jewish people, they were in because it's a family thing. But Jesus' teachings didn't seem to line up with their tradition. It didn't seem to line up with the teachings of their religious leaders. Even John the Baptist, as he was preparing the way for Jesus, said, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." He's saying, don't be saying just because you're a child of Abraham that you're in. God can raise up children from Abraham from stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So it didn't seem like John was saying that all the Jews were going to get in. And Jesus' teachings seemed to say that there were some Jews that wouldn't get in, and there were some Gentiles that would get in. It didn't line up with what their culture was telling them. Maybe it's not all about genetics. It was confusing many of their worldviews. And one brave soul, after hearing Jesus' teachings and comparing them to what the religious leaders were teaching, what their tradition said, had nerve enough to ask Jesus the question that I'm sure was on the minds of many and continues to be on the minds of many: are only a few people going to be saved? What was this guy really asking? What's the question behind his question? Perhaps he's doing some calculations. Perhaps he's thinking, all right, only so many people are going to get into heaven. There's only so much room. The fire marshal will shut it down if there gets to be too many people there. So only so many are getting in. Will I be one that gets in? Let me compare. All right, that lady at the store, she's probably in. She's really nice. But that neighbor, he's a jerk, so he probably won't be in. Where am I going to fit? Will I get in? Or maybe he was more confident of himself and thinking, all right, I'm in. I'm just trying to figure out if who else that I know is getting in. Who's not going to get in? I heard recently on a podcast I was listening to, a gold medal Olympic wrestler. And he said, winning is never the easy way. Winning is never the easy way. And I got thinking about it. You know, salvation is never the easy way. Jesus answered that, man, that's, will only a few be saved? Make every effort. That word, make every effort, strive, agonize, work to enter through the narrow gate, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. What? Work? Strive? But I thought it was by faith through grace. Will only a few enter into heaven? Jesus doesn't really answer this guy's question. Will only a few be saved? He says, hey, here's what I'm going to tell you. Strive, make every effort to enter through the narrow gate. Our salvation is a free gift, but there's work involved. Because we are going against the stream of our culture. We are going against our own sinful nature. So yeah, there is work involved. Salvation is free, but there's work involved. Which door? What's the door to eternal life? The narrow door. The one you have to work to get through. Many will try to enter, but the only way in is through that narrow door. A few years ago, Lon A was cleaning houses, and a lady she was cleaning a house for had this couch that looked like it had never been used. Nice leather couch, sleeper sofa, fluffy, big, heavy. Did I say heavy? We moved it out of her house. My son Caleb came. He's the one who always gets stuck when we help him move. And we moved it out of her house. We put it in my truck. We got it to our house. We got it to the front door. Guess what? It didn't fit through our front door. Tried to stand it up on end, but it was too long. It was an extra long couch because I need it because of my height. And we strained and we struggled. Wouldn't go through the garage door. Wouldn't go through the back door. We ended up bringing it through our bedroom, had a sliding glass door. We brought it through the sliding glass door over the bed. Now, it would fit through our bedroom door once we got inside, so we came through the bedroom door and got it placed. Water running off of us, drenched, in no mood to move any more furniture, and I informed Lon A, the only way that couch was leaving that house would be in pieces. I am glad to say that couch is still in the house. We gave it to the guy along with the house, so I did not have to move it in pieces. Now it's his problem to get it out of there. He'll probably have to take it apart as well. Which door? The narrow one. I should have. Looking back, I should have gone to Scripture and told Lonnie, Jesus says if it won't go through the narrow door, it stays outside. The narrow door, Jesus said, strive, struggle, work to go through the narrow door. He never says it's going to be easy. He says many will try and will not come in. People want eternal life. People want eternity with God. People want to go to heaven, but they want to get there their own way. It's narrow-minded to think there's only one way. But the door is narrow. And there is no back sliding glass door into heaven. There's a narrow door. And we can't get in our own way. We can only get in Jesus' way. Jesus does not care what our culture may tell us. He doesn't even give us a vote. Who wants to go through the wider door? Yes, you get the vote. We'll say no. Jesus says, it's only one way. And that is through the narrow door. He doesn't care what our opinion is about it. He doesn't care if we think he's narrow-minded. We have to remember he is God and we are not. And if we don't like it, It's just too bad. We can either get on board or we can stay outside. Which door? The narrow door, the only door in. Jesus taught in John 10:7, I am the gate, or as the King James says, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus is the narrow door. He said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, I'm one of many ways. He said, I am the only way. He doesn't say, well, it depends on where you grew up. It depends on what you were taught. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way. I am the door. Which door? I am the narrow door, the cross-shaped door, the only door in. That's not a popular way of thinking. In our culture, or in any culture, it never has been. It's too narrow. But think about it for a minute. If Jesus is in fact God, and I believe he is, if he actually did create heaven and earth, which I believe he did, and he says that the only way is through Jesus, that's probably the only way. Who am I to argue with him about that? If he says that's the only way to be saved from eternal damnation, who am I to tell him, oh, no, no, you're wrong? I mean, I could go to God and say, you know, I think it's too narrow-minded to think gravity only pulls you down. I think gravity can pull me up or sideways, whichever way I want to go. That's the way gravity should work. It doesn't change gravity. Gravity's still going to pull me down, isn't it? Or say I went to the doctor and I had a pain in my side, whichever side it is, and he said, hey, you've got appendicitis. You need to go to the hospital and get your appendix out or it'll burst and you'll die. And I said, I don't need to do that. I'll order a surgical kit from Amazon. And you know, on YouTube, you can learn to do anything and everything. So I will lay there, I'll get the surgical kit, and I will cut myself open if I figure out which side the appendix is on. And I'll cut myself open and watch a YouTube video and take my own appendix out. Because I want to do it my way and not the way anybody. You'd say, I'm crazy if I told you that. But people say all the time, well, I want to go to heaven. But I want to do it. I think it's too narrow-minded to say that Jesus is the only way. Which door? The narrow one. It's the only way. There's no back door. There's no secret code. I can't decide on my own way of getting in through another door. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. But that's so narrow. If Jesus really loves us, won't he let us all in? What about the people that live in the depth of a Muslim nation and they've never heard the gospel? What about them? Will they get in? I think that's a good question. And I think Jesus would answer us if we asked him that question the same way he answered the guy that said, will only a few be saved? Don't worry about that. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. God will take care of that. Now, we are called. We are called to follow. We are called to enter through the narrow door and call others to come along. Hey, here's the way. I found the way. It's this little narrow cross-shaped door here. This is the way to eternal life. We call others to come, and we support those that go into those places where we can't go. We want to get the word out to anyone and everyone. But who am I to say, well, God, you can't send them to hell because they didn't hear. Maybe I need to address, well, what do I need to do to make it so that they hear? We are called to be disciples making disciples, striving, working, agonizing to get through the narrow door and trust God to take care of the rest. Recognizing what we can do and can't do, and trust God to do what we can't do while we make every effort to enter through the narrow door. And don't keep putting it off. I got plenty. Hey, I'm in my teens. I got plenty. Let me live up life now. And once I get to be an old guy, then I'll settle down. Then I'll follow Jesus. Or, well, I'm only in my 20s. You know, I'm dating. I'm looking to get married. And then I'll have kids. And at that point, I'll settle down then. There's no need to rush this thing. I've got plenty of time. Or, well, I'm only in my 30s. You know, work, marriage, kids, that takes up a lot of time. I'm just trying to hold a family together. I'm trying to climb the corporate ladder. I'll worry about that Jesus stuff later. When things calm down a little bit, I got news it never calms down. I haven't gotten there yet. And I've talked to people a lot older than me. They tell me they haven't gotten there yet. The distractions change. They don't go away. And before you know it, you're nearing the end of life. You're disconnected from Jesus. Your heart's gotten hard, and you no longer hear his voice calling you to come through that narrow door. And there will come a time when Jesus returns or we breathe our last, and that door is closed for us, and our opportunity to choose is over. Which door? That narrow one. The one that's wide open. The one that throughout our lives, Jesus is calling us, wooing us to come through. The one he continues to invite us to come into his kingdom. Jesus says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you and talked in your streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." There does come a time when it's too late. No one knows the day or time when Jesus will return. There is no countdown clock we can look at and say, "All right, it's about here. I better get ready now." Nobody knows the day or hour that we will die. But either one of those events take place and the door is closed, whether we're in or whether we're out. And once the door closes, Jesus says, there are going to be people knocking on the door. "Let us in. Let us in. I was planning on entering in. I just hadn't gotten there yet. I was just putting it off. I thought I had more time. Hey, I'm an American. I thought being American and a Christian were the same thing. Hey, I went to the altar one day and prayed. Why is the door closed? My family's gone to church for a long, long time. Maybe even, hey, I taught Sunday school. I led a small group. I served the poor. Or even I preached every week." And the voice from inside says, "I don't know you. Where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." It's a narrow door. It's not narrow to keep people out. It's narrow in the way we can come in. It's only in Christ. It's as inclusive as you can get. Everyone is invited. In fact, the Holy Spirit goes before and draws and calls and woos people into a relationship with Christ. Even those in places that have never had anyone tell them about Jesus. In dreams, the Holy Spirit goes and calls people to himself. The door is wide open. It's just narrow. Because Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west, north and south, and will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and the first will be last. That's the kind of talk that got Jesus nailed to a cross. The Jewish people knew their scripture, and they liked being God's chosen people. There's many, many places in the Old Testament when it speaks of all the nations coming in to God's kingdom. But the Jewish people at the time kind of liked being the exclusive people. They didn't like that God wanted to open the doors to those Gentile people out there. Israel was called to be a priestly nation, which means they were supposed to represent God to the people and the people to God. They were supposed to point people to Yahweh, not say, hey, we've got our private club here and you're left out. Much as the church is supposed to be today, we're not supposed to be an exclusive club. We're calling, hey, we found the narrow door. Come and join us. But we tend to want to stay among ourselves. In Isaiah chapter 25, beginning in verse 6, it speaks of a great banquet on the mountain of God, and all the nations gather together. The finest meats, which means it's prime rib, medium rare, you can cut it with a fork. That's my translation of it. The finest meats. And it says the best wines. I don't know much about wine. I know it's not Mad Dog 2020 or Boone's Farm. That's about all I know about that. And it says the finest meats and the finest wines, and death will be swallowed up forever, and God will wipe away every tear. Now, the Jewish people of the time had such a negative view of the Gentiles that in their paraphrase of the scripture called the Targum, they actually said, oh, at that banquet, they're going to gather together, and the Gentiles that show up there are going to have a great plague come over them. Really? That's not really what it says. Or the book of Enoch, that was written about the 2nd century BC, talks about the banquet of the Messiah, and the angel of death would be present and wipe out the Gentiles who joined the banquet. So the people of Jesus' day knew these stories, but Jesus is talking about something different. Jesus is acting different. He's talking about being open to all the nations. All who come through that narrow door are welcomed at the table. And then in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, Jesus tells a parable about a great banquet. And the host invites many, many guests to come. In that day, they sent out two invitations. The first one was, hey, I'm going to have a banquet. Can you come? And you RSVP. Yeah, I'll be there. So they know how much food to prepare. The second one is saying, hey, everything's ready. It's time to show up. Well, the people responded to the first invitation, said, yeah, we'll be there. But when it was time for the banquet, one guy said, hey, I bought a farm and I want to go check it out. Wouldn't you do that before you bought it? And if you haven't seen it yet, you could go and eat first and then go check out the land. The other one said, oh, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go try them out. Well, hold on. You didn't try it out. You didn't test drive the tractor before you bought it. If you've already bought it, go eat first. It doesn't matter. You've already bought it. And the next one said, hey, and both of them asked, you know, they said, please excuse me for this. The next one says, hey, I got married and I'm busy with my wife, so I'm not going to be there. Now, they're pretty lame excuses, especially when you already said you were going to be there. And scholars say, oh, yeah, they were just trying to shame the guy hosting it. It was like you having a dinner party. You send out invitations. People RSVP saying they're going to be there. They all come to the house. They're sitting in the living room waiting for you to finish the food. You get the table all set. All right, come and eat. And they get up and walk out of the house. That is what this would be like. And the owner was angry. But instead of retaliating, he turned his anger to grace. He said, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the marginalized, the rejected. Invite them to come. Lead them to come and enjoy the banquet I have prepared. They're never invited to these things. They never would expect to be able to come. Go tell them all to come. The rich insiders, leaders, cool kids, rejected the invitation and tried to shame the host. So he invited the poor, the lame, the blind, those who could never repay him. Servant said, hey, there's still room. He said, go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. This implied those outside the city. This is the Gentiles, the outsiders, the ones that would never even come near. And he says, compel them because they're going to think it's a joke. They would never be invited, not to a good Jewish leader's home. There must be a catch. Oh, you're going to try to sell me a timeshare while I'm there, aren't you? Yeah, I don't know about it. Compel them. Invite them. Tell them the owner wants them to come. It's the food. It's medium rare, prime rib. It's good stuff. He's not telling them beat them over the head or threaten them with a sword as they tried to do during the Crusades. Compel them. Coax them. Invite them. Jesus is repainting the picture of the great banquet that Isaiah spoke of. A banquet not only for a few, not only for Jews, but for all nations. All are invited to come and feast at the Lord's table. All are invited, but not all will come. The door to the kingdom of God is wide open, but it's narrow, and only a few will enter. But God's supposed to be a God of heaven, a God of love. Won't everyone get into heaven? And Jesus' answer is no. The door is narrow. People who say there's many roads to heaven are lying. They're not looking at Scripture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no one, I don't care who you are, how much money you have, or what you've done, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the narrow door. People try to find eternal life all kinds of different ways, all kinds of other faiths, all kinds of works, but Jesus alone is the narrow door. He is the only way, and no one enters eternity with God apart from Jesus. And there is a time limit. I put an electronic lock on our front door so we don't have to mess with keys. And when you close the door, it locks. You got about 30 seconds. Jesus says, time's going to come when the owner's going to close the door and it's going to lock. And some are going to knock at that locked door begging. But no matter how hard you knock or how much you plead, it's too late. The door's closed, the door's locked, time's up. Jesus invites all who will come to come. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Jesus came to bring eternal life. He came to save the world. That's the gospel. That's the good news for us. He didn't come just for Jews or just for religious leaders or just for Americans or just for the rich or just for the poor. He so loved the world. He so loved all people, all nationalities, all tongues, all races. He so loved all people because we're all created in His image. And Jesus came to rescue us from the effects of sin and death. He didn't come to condemn those who would believe in Him. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. This is reality. The door is wide open, but narrow. Only those who believe and follow Jesus can get through. We cannot pursue darkness while living for light. And if we draw close to Jesus, He will reveal things in our lives that we don't really want revealed. But He exposes them in order to make us aware of them, so that He can address them and help us turn from them, so He can purify us from our sin. So people avoid Jesus because they don't want to face truth. They don't want to address their sin. They want to continue to hide in the dark and pretend everything is okay. But you can't get through the narrow door and continue to hang back in the dark. You can't get through the narrow door with a couch or your self-centered ego or the sin you want to hang on to. The door is narrow. John continues, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That's good news again. Jesus does not reject us, no matter where we have been, no matter what we have done. He invites us to come to Him, to come through that narrow door. And when we come, the light exposes our sins, the things we want to hide, but He exposes them not to embarrass us, but to free us. It's like radiation killing cancer cells. His light, His presence cleanses us. But if God is love, won't everyone get into heaven? All who come to Him and believe will enter eternity with Him. But He so loves us, He allows us to decide. He gives us the choice. And if we choose that we don't want Him in our lives, we'll not have Him for eternity. Eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's a long time. Will only a few be saved? Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. The Jesus door is the only door to eternal life. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, to life. There's no other way. And it's a cross-shaped door. And as Paul wrote, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. That's the way we have to enter through that door. Crucified with Christ. Letting all of our junk go, following Him, trusting Him, allowing Him to cleanse us. Maybe Spirit's been speaking to you this morning. You've been trying to get into eternal life all kinds of other ways. Maybe that's why you're here, because you think, if I go to church, I'll be okay. Jesus said, going to church is great. But there's a narrow door, and it's not a church-shaped door. It's a Jesus door. It's only through him. Maybe you've been playing a game, and Jesus is speaking to you this morning saying it's time to get real. Or maybe you've just drifted away. Whatever it may be, he's calling you today to come through that narrow door, to come into his presence, to come into his family.